Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayk wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina may yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa may yudlilillahu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana wa maulana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh amma ba'd faqad qala Allah tabaraka fil Qur'an al-Majid أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة عماد الدين فمن أقامها فقد أقام الدين ومن تركها فقد هدم الدين وكما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable Ulama Ikram, respected elders and brothers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The most authentic book after Quran is a hadith kitab, the author of which is a person by the name of Muhammad ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim al-Bardizba al-Ju'fi, or commonly known as Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. And this hadith kitab that he has written, Bukhari Sharif, is a kitab of which a person who studies the alim degree in his final year will be granted the opportunity to take from its treasures and pearls. However, my respected elders and brothers, what fascinates me is that Imam Bukhari rahimullah created this book which houses over 9,000 ahadith. And the beautiful thing about this kitab is his first hadith sets the tone for the rest of the kitab. And this hadith is a hadith on intention, of which he narrates a hadith on the authority of Umar radiallahu anh, who in turn narrates and says that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned that innamal a'malu bin niyyah, that the basis of every action is arbitrated, judged or adjudicated on its intention. Now my brother, I don't want to talk on Imam Bukhari rahimullah. However, I thought it's only important that I bring to your attention that if we as Muslims could quickly remake and renew our intention that we are sitting in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely for His pleasure, not only because it's a Jummah, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this day solely for the beauty of the ummah. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, that there isn't a day more beautiful that the sun has risen than the day of Yawmul Jummah. So my brother, if we could quickly make an intention that we are sitting solely for the pleasure of Allah, and this being a great day of Yawmul Jummah, then I guarantee you this much, that every speck of dust that falls on the body of every person sitting here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him for this. In fact, as this hadith comes to my mind right now, that when we sit solely for the pleasure of Allah, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates and he says that there isn't a Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that there isn't a nation that sits down solely for the pleasure of Allah. Illa haffathum al malaika wa ghashyatum al rahma wa nazalat alayhim al sakina wa dhakarahum Allah fi man inda. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that gathering wherein the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name has been taken, or that of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name been taken, then the angels descend upon this gathering and fill this entire gathering right up till the sky. He then mentions that also that tranquility that each and every person looks for in his life, that sukoon that every person needs in his life will be found in this gathering. The maghfirat that every person's ultimate goal is, the mercy of Allah, will also be found in this gathering. And on top of that, as we always say, the cherry on the top, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it such that the name of each and every person sitting here will be presented in a gathering far more greater than this. In fact, Mullah Ali Qari rahimullah in his Sharah of Mishkat, which is Mirqatul Mafati, on this hadith here alone says that وَنَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَى, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the name of every person sitting in this gathering, refers to the gathering of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam and the angels of higher status. Now my brother, to understand this, it's very simple. You know, if I had to ask any one of you and I would tell you or ask you, who is the president of our country, you'll tell me Mr. Zuma. We all know who's the president. But don't you think it would be a greater honor if the president knew who we were? In the same manner, Many a times in the same token we hear of incidences of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and all the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But don't you think there would be more greater honor if such eminent people knew the names of each and every one of us? So my brother, based on intention, if we could quickly renew, as I mentioned to you in the beginning, that we are sitting here solely for the pleasure of Allah, not only because it's a Jummah, we must come early to the masjid. Nay, but instead we make the intention that we're coming for the pleasure of Allah, to listen to whatever has been, what is going to be given to us. And ultimately, my respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us reward and grant us this virtue. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. Respected elders and brothers, whilst we are on the virtue of everything and the reward for certain things, let us also take time to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has granted us this gift of Iman. Now I'm sure many a times we hear of how important this Iman is, the wealth of Iman, the greatness of Iman. But did you know, my respected elders and brothers, in the third juz of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention and He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارُ فَلَيُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا وَلَا وِفْتَدَابِ. That those people who lived on the face of this earth in a rather irreligious manner and passed away in this manner, that come the day of Qiyamah, when everyone will run away from them, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِي وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِي, that this person's entire family will run away from him, his brother, his father, his mother, his sisters, leaving this person in complete solitude. When he stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will plead and bargain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my Allah, grant me that opportunity or grant me respite so that I may go back to this dunya. I am prepared that you take my entire family and fling them into the fire of Jahannam, save me. I want that you grant me one more opportunity, that you send me back into this dunya. And I am prepared to fill this entire world. I am prepared to fill this entire world with gold. May Allah, and I will come back and present it to you just so that you may grant me a speck of Iman. This is the virtue of Iman. Wallah, my respected elders and brothers, make no mistake of it. Last week Friday could have been the last Friday in which we would have been in the state of Iman. And because of the sins that we have committed, this Friday could have been the first Friday in which we would have been in the state of Kufr. It is only through the mercy of Allah that despite the sins that we have committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable each and every one of us to visit this masjid yet again on the great day of Yawm al-Jum'ah, and that too in the state of Iman. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes it such that whatever sins we have committed from last Friday till this Friday, nay in fact whatever sins we have committed throughout our entire life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must forgive us. Allah must forgive our past sins, our present and indeed our future. And let it be such that the day when we close our eyes and we meet our Allah, none must be happy with us than Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this ni'mat. Respected elders and brothers, as we know, as Muslims, we have been commanded to obey the commands of Allah. Every step of our life, we can't just do whatever we want. If you had to look at the comparison between a kafir and a Muslim, you would see that the kafir is of such a nature that he can do whatever he wants. I mean, take for example, sensing it being the holidays, and the holidays is coming to an end. When we want to go for holidays, the first thing we have to ask ourselves, tell me something, if I go there, is the food halal? Where will I buy my food? So as Muslims, we are governed by certain rules and regulations. In comparison to a kafir, he can go anywhere, wherever he wants. He doesn't have to worry about food. So my point being, my respected elders and brothers, as Muslims, we have been governed by certain rules, and more importantly, we are commanded to obey these rules. And one such rule that I would like to discuss with you today is the pillar of Islam, which is that of Salah. Now I know many a times we hear bayans on the issues of Salah, and I was just doing this calculation while I was sitting right now, that in a period of 10 years, my brother, in a period of 10 years, a person, I'm talking of only Jummah bayans, a person will hear approximately 580 bayans in a period of 10 years. Now when we look at the age of each and every person, someone is 20, someone is 30, someone is 40, 60, 70, and going on and on. Can you imagine how many bayans, that I'm only talking of Jummah bayans, we have listened to? Yet the amazing question, or the fiery question is, from these 580 bayans in 10 years, how many of them have we made amal upon? So that's why I chose this topic of Salah. Salah is a pillar of deen. We all know that. Yet how sad it is that today as Muslims, we have taken it completely out of our lives. My respected Alism brothers, if you had to look at Quran, Quran emphatically claims and shows us that Salah was just not an ibadah given to you and I. Salah was an ibadah given to all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. If you look at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in Surah Taha, فَاسْتَمِئْ لِمَا يُوحَى إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَأَبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابِ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا. زكريا عليه الصلاة والسلام فنادته الملائكة وهو قائم يصلي في المحراب. These are only three examples that I've mentioned to you, yet Quran has many, many more. So Salah was such an ibadah that had been given to all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, prescribed upon every ummah before us. They had been commanded to ensure that every person obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the union of Salah. For Salah was just not any form of ibadah, but rather it was a link between the Creator and created. Yet, the khususiyat and the speciality of this ummah is that they have been granted five Salah. In fact, Faqih Abu Laysa Marqandi rahimullah in his Tanbihul Ghafilin in English translates as admonition for him, for the neglectful, under the chapter of the virtues of the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, brings about an incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now we know Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, who was that Nabi who had been granted the title as Kalimullah, the one who could converse and speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any barrier. So he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day and he says, "Oh my Allah, inni ajidu fil alwahi ummatan kaffaratu khatayahum salawatul khams." That, "Oh my Allah, I have seen in the heavenly scriptures of an ummah that is about to come, of which the speciality of this ummah is such that the expiation or the wiping out of their sins will be via the performance of five daily salah." Immediately Musa alayhi salatu wasalam latches onto this great ni'mat given to this ummah that is about to come. And he says, "Oh my Allah, faj'al li ummati," make this virtue for my ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Oh Musa, no. This is not for you. This is a speciality for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Now my respected Ahlis and brothers, if a Nabi like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam could understand the great ni'mat, the wisdom, the bounty, the greatness, the virtue, the reward of performance of five times salah, yet you and I take it as a burden. Wallah, my brother, salah is so strategically placed in our life. Let's just take for example that, let's take a businessman. If he has a sale today, he will go and put his banners all over the street, wherever it may be, 90% off, 50% off, whatever it may be. My respected Ahlis and brothers, as Muslims, one of our beliefs are that we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller, the nourisher, the sustainer, and everything else. Everything else around us is asbab. You know, when you put the key into the car, it will start. Definitely. But at the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that gives that car permission to start. In the same token, my respected Ahlis and brothers, a person can put his banners throughout this entire world, showing that his shop has the sale. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, years will pass and not a single customer will enter that shop. In the same manner, if that businessman who's pabund on his salah, performs his salah, and I'm only making this as an example, the first thing he will do at his fajr salah, make dua to Allah. That, "Oh my Allah, look, I have this sale coming about. You know, you the one that provides for me and you the one that can give everything to me. So I'm asking you that you put barakat in my shop." And before he can even step out to his house or to his shop, before he can even open up the door, automatically he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come the time of zahar salah, then that same person, that same businessman will come back to the musalla and cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of zahar salah. "Oh my Allah, look, you know, half the day has gone by. Alhamdulillah, my savings are there, my earnings are there. You have protected my shop. You have made sure that no theft has taken place. No one has robbed or whatever it may be. No one has stolen. My Allah, there's still another half a day remaining. I ask that you put barakat in this." Come the time of Asr Salah, this same businessman coming back for his Asr Salah will make dua to Allah that, "Oh my Allah, the entire day has passed and alhamdulillah, my profits have increased, my sales have increased, whatever it may be. I ask you, my Allah, that you put barakat in it." Come the time of Maghrib Salah, when he's closing up his shop, then too you'll find he'll make this necessary duas, etc. But the first thing he'll do is perform his Maghrib Salah, telling Allah, "My Allah, look, this shop is the means of my livelihood. My Allah, I'm going home to my family. I ask that you put barakat in the life of my family, but more importantly, I also ask that you take care of my shop, that no one must come in the middle of the night, break in and take whatever they want. At the time of Isha Salah, the same businessman will call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, telling my Allah, that, oh my Allah, look, the entire day I slogged, I worked hard, I ensured that my shop was in tip-top form, I made sure that my sales went through, and this went through, and that went through. But my Allah, not once did I forget you. I made sure that when the call had been made for you, I closed up my shop and I came to you. Now my Allah, I am tired. I ask that you grant me a good night's sleep, and you grant me power to wake up the next day for Fajr. So my brother, this is only an example of how salah has been so strategically placed in a person's life. The things that a person can ask for is innumerable. Yet how sad it is, and I bring you back to this one point, how sad it is that today we as Muslims have taken salah as a burden. You know, everything else that had come to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came through wahi, whether it be Quran, whether it be through hadith, whatever it may be. But salah was the only ibadat that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had traveled the different lands and made that epic journey all the way to the seven heavens, Sidratul Muntaha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him this gift of salah. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that this salah will be such a mechanism that at any point in a person's life, whenever he wanted his Allah, he would definitely find his Allah. Yet again, look at how we have taken our salah. You know, this just comes to my mind. A few Ramadans ago, I can remember I met a brother. And it was the time of the 2020 World Cup. And there was a particular match taking place between Pakistan and India. So this brother comes up to me and he says, "Maulana, did you see that match?" I tell him, "Brother, it was Taraweeh. How do you expect to see that thing?" He says, "No, Maulana, I got my excuse." I said, "What you mean I got my excuse?" "I will tell my Allah on the day of Qiyamah." This is what he tells me. "I will tell my Allah, oh my Allah, you put that match in the month of Ramadan. That's why I never read my Taraweeh." My brother, whether he was joking or not, that got nothing to do with it. But look at the mentality that we have. That today, importance is given to other things. What is supposed to be shown and what is supposed to be done, that is left alone. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran makes mention and he says, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَأُ الشَّهَوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقُونَ غَيَّا. That soon there will be a nation that will come who will be of such a nature and such a caliber that these people would forego their salah, fulfill their desires. In the riwayat of Durrul Mansur, which quotes that of Hakim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his sahaba, and when this ayat had been revealed to them, immediately he turns around and tells the sahaba that سَيُهْلَكُ مِنْ أُمَّةِ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابُ وَأَهْلُ الْلِينَ. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, a bit perplexed at the situation, turned around and told, "O Nabi of Allah, that look, we understand that, you know, Ahlul Kitab refers to the people of the book, which in our terms today will translate as the Christians. For they have went about in establishing the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has children, etc. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such a thing. And we all know what they believe in. But this Ahlul Neen is certain people who we don't know, we don't recognize." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Ahlul Neen refers to قَوْمٌ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ وَيَضَعُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. It is those people who give preference to their desire over their salah. Now my brother, this is not just any person. It's not the king of any country. It's not the king of the world. But rather the blessed of all creation, the most beloved of Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making a statement that halaka, to be destroyed. The dictionary meaning of halaka means to be destroyed. Here Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying people of this nature will be completely pulverized, will be completely annihilated and destroyed just because they forgo their salah. And we all know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will never speak a lie. It is our belief that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never ever speak a lie. And here he is saying that people who forgo their salah would not meet death in an ordinary manner, would not meet death in an ordinary fashion, but rather they will be completely annihilated and blown up into smithereens because of forgoing their salah. Further inspection of this very same ayat, فَسَوْفَ يَلْقُونَ غَيَّا, Mufti Shafi Sahib in his Ma'rif al-Quran states and says that غَيْ refers to a valley in Jahannam, of which Bara ibn Azib radiallahu anhu narrates, and he states that غَيْ is a valley in Jahannam wherein flows rivers of which consists of the brain fluid, the bodily matter, the blood, the pus, the excreta. In other words, my respected elders and brothers, ghay is the entire sewage system of Jahannam. And those people who forgo their salah will be forced to consume this fetid water. Can you imagine what will be the condition of those people who do not perform their salah? This is the importance of salah, my respected elders and brothers. Yet how sad it is again that many of us just take the salah as completely, we don't even consider it at all. There's a riwayat mentioned in Kabair of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. One day he was walking and a lady comes up to him and he says, "Oh Musa, laqad aznabtu dhanban kathira." Musa, I have committed a most heinous of crime. He turns around and he says, "My sister, look, you know my Allah is most forgiving and I'm sure He'll forgive you." She says, no, you rather make dua for me because what I've done, I don't think at all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive me. So he tells her, "Okay, my sister, why don't you tell me your sin?" She says that I have committed zina. Immediately Musa alayhi salatu wasalam gets completely perplexed and astounded at the fact that this person has committed such a heinous of crimes. She says, "No, it doesn't stop there. The child that came out from this illegal consummation, I murdered it." Musa alayhi salatu wasalam holds his ear. And he says, "Oh my goodness me, that you have now been destroyed. I suggest that you go away from here, for I fear that if the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to descend, it will singe and burn every single thing in this area." This lady turns around, munkasirat al-qalb, with a broken heart, she walks away. Thereafter, Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam comes down and he says, "Musa, do you not know of a person that is much more sinful than this lady?" Immediately Musa alayhi salatu wasalam throws up his hands and he says, "Ama wajadta sharram minha?" Can there be anyone that can commit a crime that is more heinous than this? Firstly, committing the act of zina, and secondly, killing that child? Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Yes, indeed, at-tariku salah," that person who leaves out his salah. My brother, this is the warnings. These are the admonitions. These are the sins that people commit, or these are the punishments a person will attain if he leaves out his salah. Sheikh Zakaria rahimullah in his Fazali of Amal makes mention and he says that if a person forgoes one salah, he must be prepared to stay for one huqab in Jahannam. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimullah mentions in his Marif al-Quran under the tafsir of Labithina Fiha Ahqaba, states and says that huqab refers to 80 years in Jahannam, of which comprises each year comprising of 360 days, each day equivalent to 1,000 years in this world. In totality, he says, if a person has to forgo one salah, in totality, and listen carefully, my brother, if a person forgoes one salah, he must be prepared to stay in Jahannam for 22,800,000 years for one salah. Can you imagine what it would be like for that person who forgoes all his salah, who hears the azan and walks past the masjid but turns a deaf ear? When you ask him, "You're coming for salah?" No, I'll meet you just now. 22,800,000 years for one salah. So my brother, this is the importance of salah again. We as Muslims, unfortunately today, you know, we want our children to have the best of education. Well and good. You know, I want my son to be a lawyer. I want my son to be a doctor, a surgeon, this, that, whatever it may be. When he goes through his schooling career, you know, "Dad, I need some tuition, extra tuition." No problem. We'll take out money. We'll send the child for tuition. But my brother, how many of us as parents have ever taken our time to bring our children to the masjid and teach them and give them tuition on how to perform salah? How many of us make sure that when we stand in the masjid for salah, my son is next to me. My son is in the back, but I know he's performing my salah. You know, the amazing thing today, and I find it rather funny at this fact, that many a times when we find people bringing in their children, when the child will be 2 or 3 years old, and he'll wear a nice mashallah kurta, and he'll have the turban, and he'll come and sit in the masjid, 2 or 3 years old. But by the time when salah becomes compulsory upon him, that's the time when the kurta is gone, the mohawk is up, and he's walking past the masjid. What is important? That we don't do. So this is salah. And how important the salah is. It is mentioned in another narration of Kabair that there was a person who had a sister. And this lady would perform a salah fine, fair enough. However, she used to always make sure that her salah would be performed at the time when the salah was about to go out. In other words, in the makruh times. When the time came for her to pass away, she passed away, and the brother came home after a long journey and he found out that his sister passed away. And he goes to the graveyard, and where his sister had been buried, he sees fire erupting from this grave. Immediately he goes home and he asks his mother, that, tell me what sin did my sister do? The mother would say, no, your sister used to perform a salah, etc. and all those things. But one bad habit she had was that she used to always perform her salah in the makruh time. My brother, if this is the punishment for performing salah in the makruh time, where the grave will itself erupt into fire, what will be the punishment for that person who doesn't perform salah at all? Muhammad ibn Sirin used to say that if I had been given a choice to perform two rakats of salah and jannah, لَخْتَرْتُ الرَّكْعَتَيْنِ, I would definitely indeed have chosen two rakats of salah. Because in salah, in jannah lies my happiness. However, in salah lies the happiness of my Allah. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ مَرْضَاتٌ لِرَبِّي وَحُبُّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَسُنَّةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَنُورُ الْمَعْرِفَةِ وَأَصْلُ الْإِيمَانِ وَإِجَابَةُ الدُّعَاءِ وَقُبُولُ الْأَعْمَالِ وَبَرْكَةٌ فِي الرِّزْقِ وَرَاحَةٌ لِلْأَبْدَانِ وَسِلَاحٌ عَلَى الْأَعْدَاءِ. That indeed salah is of such a nature that it brings about the happiness of Allah. حُبُّ الْمَلَائِكَةِ is something which the malaika enjoy. In the same riwayat of Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi in his Tanbihul Ghafilin, he makes mention and he says that at every stage from this world till the heavens, there are angels making constant ibadat of Allah. Some of them in standing position, some of them in ruku, some of them in sujood, some of them in tashahud. Yet all these have been encompassed and given to a believer that every salah he can perform every one of these virtues. In ruku, in sajda, in qoma. Sunnatul Anbiya, as I mentioned to you, that every Nabi would perform salah. Nurul Ma'rifa, it is a light for a believer on the day of Qiyamah. Aslul Iman, the differentiating factor between a non-Muslim and a Muslim is Salah. The essence of Iman, As-Salatu Imaduddin. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned that Salah is a pillar of Deen. فَمَنْ أَقَامَهَا فَقَدْ أَقَامَ الدِّينَ. That person who established his Salah has established his Deen. وَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ هَدَمَ الدِّينَ. That person who leaves out his Salah has destroyed his Deen. My brother, time does not permit. But I would love to leave you with this one message. That it is about time that we as Muslims ensure that we perform our salah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And not just any type of salah. You know, they always talk of that joke of that businessman who used to say that one day he came for salah and the imam read three rakats. So he tells the imam that, oh, Mawlana, you know, you read three rakats only. The imam says, no, I read four. He says, no, you read three. No, I read four. How do you know I read four? He says, I have four shops and I only counted three shops so far. So we take it as a joke, but this is how it is. In reality, you know, if I have to, whoever the imam may be, if he performs salah, and if you go home and ask yourself what the imam read in that salah, you won't even remember. Because today's salah is of such a nature that we just feel that we just go up and down and that's it, end of story. My respected Alis and brothers, let us inculcate this habit of performance of salah in our families firstly. And more importantly, when we do perform salah, let us perform it in its proper manner. Let us have khushu. Let us be such that we concentrate. Because at the end of the day, when a person stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَيَنْذُرُ أَيْمَنَ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمَ مِنْهُ وَيَنْذُرُ أَشَمَّ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمَ مِنْهُ وَيَنْذُرُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارِ تِلْقَاءَ وَجِهِ. That a person will stand up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will see on his right hand side and see nothing but the actions that he has brought with him. He will see on his left hand side and also see nothing but the actions that he has brought with him. And he will see in front of him, but he will find nothing but the fire of Jahannam staring back at him. So my brother, let us inculcate in each and every one of us the performance of salah. Let us read it with khushu. Let us concentrate when salah is being read. Let us make sure that our family at home also read. Let us bring the children to the masjid when the time is right and they become of the age to perform salah. Bring them to the masjid and ensure that they do perform salah. I'm going to leave you with this last ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Holy Quran and says, Ya ayyuhal insan ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. O insan, what has led you away from me? وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك الله بحمدك ونشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.